Finding and keeping team members is harder than ever. As a matter of fact, let's be honest, it's a hot mess. What if I told you you have an opportunity to partner with an organization that helps to find the right people, the right training, and track their performance with some amazing tools? On today's podcast, we're going to have a conversation about the power of a virtual assistant, and we're going to hang out with my boy, Corey. If you're ready, lock in, let's go.
This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover. Today, I'm very excited because I live in the world of eye care, and I've been in this industry for many years, and the landscape has really changed. And the one thing that really stands out is the difficulty hiring team members. And this is all positions. And we all know that in order to really make the magic happen, teamwork makes the dream work, meaning we got to have all the right players in the office to be able to execute a seamless patient experience. And on today's podcast, we have an expert that has been in this game for a while that can really solve the problem for you when it comes to finding that right team member. Friends and family, I'd like to welcome my friend, my colleague, Corey from Team. How are you doing today, my friend?
Daryl, good to see you. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Hey, man, super excited to have you. Really excited to have this conversation, my friend, because the world of virtual assistants is something that's been around, but I still feel like the world doesn't know what it truly means and how you can actually leverage it in your practice. So today I want to have a candid conversation, a real conversation, and I want to break down some myths. I want to understand how this works, and I want to go into the weeds with it. But before we get too far, my friend, you got to tell us who you are, where you're from, and how did you get into this amazing profession of eye care?
Yeah, my name is Corey Pinniger. I am 32 years old, live in Salt Lake City, Utah. Born and raised on the East Coast, moved to Salt Lake in my teenage years. I love it and hate it at the same time right now, and really fell into, I would say, brick and mortar healthcare right out of college when I was a early employee at Weave.
Okay.
And eventually had the opportunity to buy the service arm of Weave from them in 2016 and bought that business for a dollar. It was a small 8-person team at the time. And for the last 9 years, have been building a staffing business, started in dentistry a few years ago, went into optometry, are in a few more verticals now, but really love that there's so much room for improvement of patient care and doctors' lives within optometry. And for me, I wasn't athletic enough to be really sporty in high school, and I found that I enjoy and decent about business, and I love the game.
I love that, man, and I love that you're a part of the game. And, you know, I want to go back to something that you stated, you know, making doctors' lives better, making the patient experience better. Those are the two keys to success. If we as eye care professionals can lock into that, our practices can thrive. And that's pretty much going to be the foundation of this conversation, I'm pretty sure. But let's jump into it, my friend. I mean, you know, why are doctors, optometrists in particular, turning to more remote care and services or remote staff, I should say, because I'm seeing more and more of it pop up. I am seeing some doctors happy with it. I am seeing some frustrated with it. So I want to start with the foundation and want to know, why is this even taking place, my friend?
That is a great question. I think there has been growing need. And before we even talk about remote work or virtual assistants, yeah, I think there's a really interesting phenomenon to call out. And it's the fact that reimbursement rates, fee rates in the managed care, managed service world are not significantly or really marginally at all since 2001 going up. Now, what's interesting is inflation since 2001 has gone up 86%. If we're a visual thinker, which I am, you've got a floor that continues to rise and a ceiling that is stagnant. And because of that, it's harder to retain and hire really good staff members. And so I think as COVID took almost like that hockey stick up in continued and rising cost, there's a great and one of my favorite quotes is the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over and expecting different results. I think people are at that breaking point where you've hired three people over the last 9 or 11 months. You hired them, you trained them, and then you lost them for some reason, whether they weren't the right fit or they got a raise for a dollar somewhere else. And they're just like, I have to do something different.
Yeah. Hey, man. I mean, you really nailed it. And it's interesting that you looked at inflation and compared it to that, right? Because that is something that every practice actually experiences. And we got to figure out ways to get around that, right? And I do feel like with this remote services or remote staff, this is an opportunity to help increase your margins and also potentially increase retention, right? Because this is someone that you can have a real conversation with and build out to be what they need to elevate the practice.
And I want to take a note on what you just said. They're a real human. When I grew up, I never worked with anyone internationally. I grew up in the bubble of Utah. And when I thought of outsourcing, I had a debit card from Wells Fargo when I was 16 years old. I still have that same bank account today. Wells Fargo sent me a thank you note in the mail. And I remember calling that support line when I think I locked my debit card PIN. And I had a really bad experience. There's a really thick accent on the other end of the line. They couldn't actually help me. I walked away being super frustrated. And a lot of people, when they think of international or remote help, they think of outsourcing, which normally gets the thought of cheaper labor or cheaper help, but lower quality. What you just talked about is the phenomenon that people are seeing recently, where you can actually say, I'm going to take someone really smart that I choose for my practice, and I'm going to embed them in my systems and my structure, just like they were sitting in the back office, verifying insurance, answering the phone calls, following up on patient statements. There's a trend now where you can get the same quality and even relieve your front desk of some of the multiple tasks and pressures that they feel every single day.
So, you know, it's interesting you say that. I think this is a fantastic concept. But let me ask you this. What about my doctors that feel like they have to reach out and touch someone and look over their shoulder and have that person in the office? Because we see this whole thing now about CEOs are calling people back into the office, right? So I'm curious to know, what are your thoughts in regards to that? Because I do think it's great to have people in office to ideate and to plan things. But if it's something that involves systems and processes, something that's repetitive, I do like that concept to reach out and have someone else that's not in the office to be able to do it in the comforts of their home and be able to execute at a high level as well. And I'd have all that chaos in the office around them, and they could just be hyper-focused on what they need to do. But what are your thoughts in regards to hearing more people need to go back to the office? Because that's the thing now.
So, and I mean, I can put on my objective hat outside of owning the business of team and say, yeah, there is very pragmatic reasons for return to office mandates. We see them from Netflix and Facebook and Apple. And the reason that we see those, and they're justified, if I'm sitting and I'm running Apple or Netflix and I'm paying my developers $550,000 a year, guess what? You need consistent communication and innovation in those businesses. Those businesses are on the forefront of technology, the NVIDIAs, the Facebooks, the AWSs, and you need teams iterating and changing code and solving problems. You just nailed something. There's a lot of things that sit at the front desk of an optometry practice that are consistent and don't require actually the ebb and flow of innovation and communication. It is verifying an insurance. It is submitting a claim. It is scheduling a new patient, where you still need to communicate. But I think the reason that you're seeing these such large companies require their workers back in the office is they have to be innovating. And if you are running an innovation-based business, I actually agree with the office mandate, but where you have consistent SOP systems-based tasks, it does not require it, in my opinion. But what do you think?
I mean, I agree, man. I mean, I'm just all about innovation and ideating, right? If we can come together and work together, I feel like more diverse perspectives create better results, right? You get better outcomes with anything that you have going on. But when it comes to the world of eye care, we do too many things the old school way. Even as eye care professionals, as optometrists, we're data collectors, and we should spend more time doing this, face-to-face interaction, having conversations. And I feel like we need to start figuring out how to streamline that patient experience where we're not doing that old school approach and we're removing a lot of the friction and we're able to retain our team members, but also just be able to increase our bottom line. Because at the end of the day, my friends, if you're not generating revenue and you're not figuring out how to bust down that P&L and figure out what you can do to change things, you may lose your practice. We saw what happened during COVID, and I think that should have been a big wake-up call for everyone that we got to change the way that we do things.
So I'm going to add two different thoughts that you just got me going on. And this, I love this because it's a very authentic and unstructured conversation, but obviously I cut my teeth in the dental world, and our largest book of business as a business is within dentistry. So over the past 90 days, your fourth largest DSO has been gone into a bank seizure, and a top 10 DSO has, and these are both with over $1 billion of active debt on their business. And what it shows you is that the pressures of doing things the old school way and not innovating and change are causing even well-run operationally, where you can afford, I mean, the CEO of one of these groups was the previous COO of Walgreens. So you're not hiring budget operational leaders, and they are getting seized by the bank because they can't afford their operations. But if we're willing to innovate to some of those forefront edges, we can actually deliver good patient care and take home the amount of money we need to live the life that we signed up to do while delivering great patient care.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, man, I think we really set the foundation and the tone. You know your stuff, right? And when it comes to virtual assistants or any kind of business, people want to partner with people that they believe understand what's going on. And clearly, you have a brilliant mind when it comes to business. So I want to jump into team. I would like for you to kind of run through what that journey looks like from an optometrist that's like, hey, you know what? I want to make that jump into having a virtual assistant. What does that look like? If you don't mind painting that picture so that we can see what that looks like and that we can experience that experience as well.
Really good question. So when someone says, okay, I think I want to move forward or they want to learn more, I'd encourage them to go to our website, just set up a call with our team. And our main goal of that call is to shadow or mimic what we see from really good clinicians, where someone's coming in and we're discovering what the issue is. People will come in and say, I want a virtual assistant. And my first thought is, you don't actually want or need a virtual assistant. You need to have a problem that a virtual assistant can help solve to derive an outcome. You don't buy a car for a car. You buy a car to get you and your family to Disney World. And so you need an SUV that's safe.
Well, if you ask my wife, it's completely different. She wants the car just to have the car.
you can replay this episode for her.
But no, I agree with you 100%.
And so what's really important is that we as a partner help, you know, understand and you know, okay, are you struggling with cost structure? Are you struggling with missed calls? Are you struggling with staff retention? And once we do that, we can then, you know, begin the official process of moving forward, where we set you up with a meeting with one of our recruiters and success managers, where we actually go through and say, what hours do you want them to work? Do you need Spanish and English? What are the personality and soft skills and other technical characteristics that matter? Yeah. And then we bring 3 to 5 people back to you and your hiring team that match all those characteristics that we have interviewed that have gone through our testing, where you can actually say, I really like Adam, or I really like Bo, and this is the person I want to bring on to my team.
Wow. Hey, Ben, the one thing that I really love that you touched on is that you mentioned, do you have a problem that we can essentially solve, right? It's not just, hey, we want to take everyone's business. You want to make an impact. You want to make a change. And it goes back to what you stated at the top of the conversation, making doctors' lives easier, making that patient experience, you know, seamless and frictionless. You're all about making sure that these offices are getting exactly what they need to be successful. Now, Corey, I want to spend a little time on, because I'm new to this, I'm learning more about this, but there's always these myths out there about virtual assistants. And I really want to bust them down with you today, because I feel like there's someone out there like me that may be looking at seeing if they could bring this to their practice, but they hear all this noise out there. And I want to cut out the noise today. So I'm curious to know, what are some of the myths and realities and truths that you typically hear when people are coming to your organization and they're on the fence of maybe joining your organization, my friend?
Great conversation. So I think two of them we've lightly discussed, where people think of outsourcing and they think of really thick accents. Now, there are obviously 8 billion people in the world and there's all different types of English and accents, but we are able to, because of the volume of applications that we get, find people with minimal or non-existent accents. I mean, you've met multiple members of our team at our booths, and a lot of those people live in other countries. And ultimately, people select who they want to join the team, the practitioner or the office manager. And so I think people, when they think of it, just like I did with my experience with Wells Fargo, have misconceptions around thick accents only. And that's just not the reality today.
Yeah. And how do you make that happen? I mean, are we sourcing from the States? Are we sourcing from Canada? Are we sourcing from Africa? Are we sourcing from India? Like, where are we getting these amazing rock stars that are coming in that's making the life easier for our physicians?
So there is two major hubs that we're hiring out of Latin America. And if I am recommending a phone-based or patient-based interaction role, it's Latin America. Spanish and English, the culture, they're very charming and warm and familial. And then we also hire out of the Philippines, where there's a lot of really in-depth health insurance knowledge, scribing knowledge, and all of those roles are more on the back end functionality. And that's why we have those two main hubs to hire out of.
Oh, fantastic. Okay. All right. So we got that down. What else do you have for me, my friend?
I think if I were to go into the reality of hiring a virtual assistant, is sometimes when you think of an outside vendor, they think, okay, once I sign the agreement, it's kind of like a light switch. And that could be the case with software. You nailed that, right? When almost to a theme to today, that we are in the business of hiring and helping people retain really good human beings. But guess what? To integrate a human being to your business takes work. Yes. We have training through our university in CompuLink, Rev, Weave, Mega Voice, all of these main systems and these main roles. But you still have to invest in integrating that team member with how you schedule, what insurances you take, what your policies are, and also investing in making them a part of your team. And that's work. But once you do it, they can deliver such better quality, and that integration increases the communication and support amongst your entire team.
Man, you nailed it. I think sometimes, you know, even in person, we want to put a person in a position and just kind of plug and play or not give them adequate training. And we have to invest in people. If we want them to be rock stars, if we want them to mimic what we do, it takes time. And it's no different from a virtual person or someone that's actually in person. So we got to sit down and take that time to make sure we're investing all the things into that person to elevate that patient experience. It sounds like you have a pretty incredible onboarding service there.
We've built a really good structure. And one thing I just want to say, you know, having a couple thousand team members right now, I've seen things go really well and not.
A lot.
One thing that I want to double down on what you just said is investing in training upfront, though it is work. One thing I've seen is it's easier to build a new boat sometimes than to turn around a cargo ship. And so once you have someone not trained in the proper vision and mission and principles of your practice, when you go in 3, 6, 9 months later, it's hard to adjust because you're used to how you ride the bike.
Yes.
And so investing upfront, and this is how we treat our patients, this is how we schedule, cuts down on so much harder course correction, whether in person or remote in the future.
Gotcha. So from what I'm hearing, essentially what's taking place when it comes to this onboarding process is the doctor basically tells you what you need. Then it's all about the candidate interviews. You kind of go through, you play matchmaker, you figure out what works the best for that doctor in their practice. And then lastly, you do the onboarding and you got to invest that time in that virtual assistant, just like you would an in-person doctor. And this is how you get the ball rolling. And we got to realize that it's not going to happen overnight. It's not plug and play. It's plug in. You make sure you train that person to get them to that next level to elevate that experience in the office. Is that what I'm hearing right there?
Exactly.
Very nice. Very nice. So tell me this, when it comes to joining your organization or partnering with you guys, you know, what's the best way to get started? What's the website? How should they move? Kind of give us an overview of what that looks like.
Yeah. Easiest way to reach us is through our website. It's www.hireteam.com. And that's HIRETEEM. And if you can go there, you can click a button that allows you to schedule a call directly with our team, and then we can get the process started in a 30-minute call from there.
And for those out there that are thinking, man, I really love this and I want to join this and make it happen, you know they want to know about the money, my friend. What does this start off at? What does this kick off at? Because at the end of the day, it does come down to dollars and cents, my friend.
So our rate for an hourly with a virtual assistant is a little over $11 an hour. And when you compare that to the average blended rate with healthcare or state taxes in the United States, we're generally about half the cost. And to break that down further is it's about $2,000 a month in monthly savings compared to traditional labor rates. That's 24 grand through a year where you can pay your office manager more. You can pay off your student debt quicker, but this is real money. It's not an extra cent saved on every glove, but it's a very real way to move the needle in a time where cost inflation is becoming bigger and more painful than ever.
Wow. You know, I'm hearing that savings and I'm wondering, like, how can I, you know, leverage this more in the office? What are the typical positions that you're seeing switch over to a virtual assistant in the office? Is it the front desk? Is it the technician? Like, what does that look like?
So there's three main areas, and it would be inbound and outbound phone calls, kind of that front desk representative you just talked about. Number two would be insurance verification or revenue cycle management work, more of that back office billing functionality. And then number three, scribing. The doctor can see, if you look at the data that we have, about 15% more patients per day, and it allows them to be fully focused on the person in front of them, just what you and I were talking about a minute ago, and know that they can go to the next exam lane right after that, and that things are detailed in a comprehensive way. You also see better collection rates from insurance companies because of it.
Wow. So I want to give kind of like a real life scenario, if you don't mind, because you've done a fantastic job of, you know, telling us the why, telling us how it works. But let's get into the weeds of, you know, what does it truly look like? If I have a practice and I'm doing $1 million, I have, you know, maybe seven team members, and I'm looking to figure out how to pivot into more of the virtual world. How many of these virtual assistants do I really need? Because you mentioned three areas where they can really make a difference for you. Are you using one person for all three of those areas? Are you using one person for maybe two of those and you have two? What does that look like? How do you figure out how many people you truly need?
So I'm going to go back to where we started with actual true problem discovery. And what I mean by that is if you are struggling from not taking home, okay, you got $1 million practice that is not producing net income, you may have, and then you look at your COGS and related to labor, you may need to physically, manually switch some of your headcount. But that is dependent on that pain point. Now, another one is you could go into your Weave and see that you missed 37% of your phone calls during business hours last month. You don't need to go switch labor. You need more assistance in properly picking up and scheduling those new and existing patients. Or let's say you found out that no one has called your recare list in 6 months. That's where you can actually say, okay, I have a problem that can deliver more revenue and profit, but better patient care. And then the final thing is if you're struggling with retention of your staff where you've hired the same position three times a row over a 9-month period, well, again, that's the problem. And a virtual assistant can bring the stability So it's more about addressing the problems. It's not about the headcount within a practice.
I love it, man. A true business guy. Again, brilliant brain, mind. Love everything that I'm hearing. You know, when is your time to retire for Opter? Step away from the game. I mean, you've done so much already, my friend, and you're still very young. What do you want to be known for, man? Because you're elevating the healthcare industry. I can't even just say eye care. It's healthcare in general, right? But what do you want to be known for, Corey?
I ultimately want to walk away knowing that I did everything I could to leave life a better place. And I love the game of business.
Yeah.
But to me, it's a game of impact. And impact is truly building a business that can solve real problems for its customers, but at the same time, deliver better lives to our team members. And I think about it all the time that business is a triangle, and you have value to your customers, you have value to your team members, and you also need to create a sustainable business, or else, you know, one day you close up shop.
Right.
And so what I think about all the time is, how do we drive impact? If we drive impact and solve problems equally for team members and customers, we're going to grow a great business. And that's what I obsess on.
I love it, man. And hey, for all those out there listening, this guy is real. I've had the opportunity to sit down and kick it with him. The way that he takes care of his family, the way that he takes care of his business, what you hear on this podcast is authentic. And for all my colleagues out there looking to partner with an organization to take that practice to the next level, to have that virtual assistant, someone that's fully trained and have a resource that's able to track what's being trained and their performance, this is the company that you want to consider. Go to hireteam.com and explore that website, but tap in for a demo and have that conversation and figure out what your pain points are and that problem is and make the magic happen. Corey, man, this has been fantastic. I really appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation today, and I look forward to catching you at another conference. And for all my colleagues out there, stay healthy, stay positive, stay blessed, and until next time, peace. All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars and make sure you follow us on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is at Defocus Media on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.